last thing in the whole agreement is they get rid of the broad investor rights that help promote outsourcing, that make it cheaper and less risky. And so, you know, rules like the minimum standard of treatment are gone. With respect to the U.S. and Canada, the whole investor-state dispute settlement system is eliminated, terminated. It phases out in 3 years. With the U.S. and Mexico, they basically roll way back that system as far as the corporate rights. And then it, you can only get compensation for instance, the government actually taking your stuff, not just because an investor's expectation was undermined. And then there's some new procedures, for instance, to
we
limit the amount
seconds.
Of damages.
10 seconds, Laurie, for the most important aspect of this.
I would say the punchline is stay tuned and keep fighting. If we don't get members of Congress to push on the administration, the necessary labor and environmental enforcement's not going to happen, and then it's going to be a deal we're going to have to stop. If we can get these things fixed and next year we can get some of it improved, on WASH, it could help stop some of NAFTA's ongoing damage. We will see. It's a work in progress.
Laurie Wallach, thanks for being with us of Public Citizen. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Our website's democracynow.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 8 o'clock, and coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor The Art of the Guillotine and other class horror stories on Friday, October 5th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the AFRU Gallery in Portland. In this exhibit, Shane Bugby has created a variety of handmade flags with messages for the powers that be. Sculptural works that include $10,000 of real shredded U.S. currency, detention center Liberty Shanks, and a life-size model of a guillotine. The opening features snacks, cake, and interactive performances. Again, that's The Art of the Guillotine and other class horror stories on Friday, October 5th, from 6 to 10 p.m. at the AFRU Gallery, 534 Southeast Oak Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. This is KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM. And boy, are we going to unload on Kavanaugh, are we not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really weird. It was a really weird week.
Oh, it was a weird week. But I have lots of evidence of who he's connected to and why. And you probably do, too.
Who he's connected to and why?
Yeah.
Is that less important than what he said and what was true and what wasn't?
Actually, it is.
It is.
It turns out who he represents.
He represents,
for example, Alec. No Alec?
You mean he was an attorney for them?
No. He represents them. He is, it's not a legal thing. It's who he is, who put him up, why he's where he is. What he intends to do. Stuff like that.
You're going to have to elaborate because that sounds very amorphous.
Amorphous?
Yeah,
I thought you'd say it's conspiratorial.
You said he's represented by Alec. Okay, Alec is the American Legislative Exchange Council.
Yes.
It's this group that coordinates the writing of legislations from one state legislature to another. Things like deregulatory bills, laws that roll back environmental regulations,
for example.
So that the same, essentially the same laws keeps popping up and being passed by legislatures around the nation.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's Koch Industries.
Okay, but how is he represented by them? That's what I'm getting at. What happened? Is there a quid pro quo?
Okay, here's the deal. He was behind many of the decisions that pushed forward the ideas that are essentially part of the new conservative movement within the Republican Party.
Okay.
Okay. And there's a whole bunch of evidence that essentially he is part of the group that has allowed corporations to buy legislatures. This is your understanding through Alec, that he is also, and this is really important, that he is part of the control group, including the federal well, first of all the since Citizens United, all the money, he represents that money directly, and will be once he's confirmed on the Supreme Court, which he almost certainly will be. He is their guy more than any other right winger on the Supreme Court. Also, essentially, he was sponsored by McGahn, you know, who is the president.
Outgoing White House counsel.
Yeah. And the Federal Election Commission.
Sponsored when?
For this position.
Recommended.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chosen.
Well, we know that, right? The White House puts out a nominee.
Well, I don't think
we know. Of course, the White House counsel is part of that process. Right?
I don't think we understand, maybe even you, maybe even me, understand the degree to which this is a vast, and I hate to say it, conspiracy by the right wing to absolutely control every aspect of government in the United States. This is real, not made up.
No, I believe you. I just want to make sure that we, you know, we source these things, and we're not just speaking, you know, we're not just flinging wild, unconnected ideas around.
I would never fling wild, unconnected
ideas around. We want context. We want substance. We want our regular high standard of intellectual rigor that you're used to on the Abe and Joe Talk radio program.
Well, and I also have a list here
uh-huh.
of his consistent positions on various issues, all of which are consistent with and support Alec and the Koch brothers.
Okay. I'll stipulate the fact that he is a conservative ideologically, and that he has connections to these groups, prominent groups within the larger conservative ideological movement.
I think you think that's less important than the fact that he's a bore.
No, I think that's less important to what actually happened procedurally this last week and what's going to happen this week.
Oh, I think that, I don't think that the two are comparable. I mean, I think this was a sleazy operation from the get-go. But then again, this is a sleazy administration from the get-go. But you have a whole bunch of stuff to present, and I want to give you a chance.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. Before we get going into this, what I would really like to hear from, not what, whom,
who,
the people.
Who, yes.
Who I would really like to hear from today are our women listeners. Because I think that what we're going to talk about today concerns women more than it does any other section of the electorate, any other part of our listenership.
Okay, here's where you and I possibly part company. I think it concerns everybody.
Well, I think it concerns everybody, too. But I think the events of this past week have special resonance for women.
I'm not arguing with that.
Obviously, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we all know what happened going into the hearings in the Judiciary Committee last week. Kavanaugh is Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court seat, vacated by Anthony Kennedy. We know, we talked about last week, that he is part of the list of short list of nominees drawn up by the Federalist Society.
Right.
Right. So already vetted by hardcore movement conservatism.
Right.
Might say. And corroborated by the information you just shared with us at the beginning of the show. All right. So he went into the hearing last Thursday night. We knew all this about him. We also know that he has been credibly accused of sexual assault by a growing number of women. All of whom have come forward to one extent or another.
He likes beer. Beer.
Yeah,
beer,
we found,
beer, beer,
we,
beer.
We suspected that beer. Going in to the hearings, but it has been confirmed beyond a shadow of a doubt after the hearing. So last Thursday was a remarkable spectacle. I don't recall seeing anything quite like it in my adult life. in American politics.
That's because you're so young.
I am. Well, I'm relatively young, yeah, compared to some people in this room. It's true.
It's true.
But going back maybe to the Anita Hill hearings in...
Yeah, that would be the first overt such slaughtering.
Yeah, many of the same people on the Judiciary Committee.
Oh, yeah.
Interestingly enough.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Judge Kavanaugh's accuser, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, came forward and gave testimony.
Very credible.
Very credible. And also, it was hard to watch her and not believe her and not be moved by what she said. She was clearly in such pain recalling this. She had that, and she even explained it in terms of brain science, because in addition to being a very credible witness about her own sexual history, as every woman is, she is a brilliant neuroscientist,
yes,
clinical psychologist. So she started talking about her memories and why she remembered things the way she did, couching that in terms of brain science. She was an incredibly powerful advocate for herself, an incredibly sympathetic witness, and it was hard to watch her say what she said and not coming away believing that Brett Kavanaugh attacked her when he was in high school.
Right.
It was
there was a lot of beer.
There was a lot of beer. It was a stunning performance. Of course, the questions being administered to her were the Republicans brought in a fig leaf, a woman that they could hide behind, because they didn't want the cameras trained up on their old shriveled white faces as they grilled this woman about this very, very traumatic event in her past. So they brought forward a female prosecutor, the female assistant, as Chuck Grassley kept calling her, a career prosecutor from Arizona, whose job it was to prosecute sex abuse cases. Interesting choice of outside counsel, one might say.
Yeah, right.
So I'm guessing that they brought her out so that they could gradually establish a pattern of contradictions in her testimony that would discredit her. That did not happen. In fact, that approach to her, I think, strengthened her position. She came out. She came through as an incredibly sympathetic witness. Everybody in that room believed her. And then the Republicans, tellingly, when it was Brett Kavanaugh's turn to come back, switched her out, and they started asking their questions to Judge Kavanaugh directly.
Right.
And that's when we started hearing about how much he likes beer.
Beer.
He came out and gave an opening statement that can only be characterized as a partisan rant. What? How else would you describe that?
Oh, I would say it was an insane, paranoid, delusional rant.
Yeah.
Delusional, because he actually said it was all the fault of the Clintons, you know.
Oh, yes.
Really weird.
He started weeping. He was yelling. He talked about how this attempt was nothing but an attempt to drag his name through the mud, that it was politically motivated, that it was revenge on behalf of the Clintons for their defeat in 2016, further revenge by the Clintons for his part in this writing the Starr report back during the Monica Lewinsky era. It was completely unhinged. And I would say, despite all the untruths that he has uttered under oath during his confirmation hearing, he displayed a temperament that simply is not consistent with being a judge on the Supreme Court.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. But let's be clear. He lied within the context of the regular testimony he gave, outside of the question of his abuse of women. Way outside of that.
Way outside of that, yeah.
Yeah. So this is a man who is the archetypal, archetypical example of who you do not want on the court. Even if you want a conservative, even if your politics are conservative, he shows no temperament of a judge.
No, none whatsoever. In fact, he came across as an entitled frat boy who was suddenly thwarted.
Yeah, wasn't he a deke?
Yeah, yeah.
And I know the deeks from college experience. They were the drinking or raping organization. They're the ones, if I remember correctly, who at Yale chanted, and I'm quoting here, no means yes, yes means anal.
That is indeed what the deeks chanted at Yale, and that is indeed what got them either suspended or expelled. I'm not sure
not expelled, suspended. As a frat.
Right, because boys will be.
Well, you know how it
after
is.
All. Right. So he came out and ranted about how his life has been ruined, his family has been traumatized, all of which is true. I'm sure this has been very difficult for Mr. Kavanaugh and his family.
Who gives a...
Perhaps not as difficult as the lives of the women he assaulted in his youth. Perhaps not as difficult as their lives have been. But indeed, what a terrible thing to befall this guy. But he's been claiming, like, he's been talking as if his life has been ruined. But look, how has this man's life been ruined? He has literally paid no price for any of these assaults that he has allegedly committed over the course of his life. No price whatsoever. He is a federal judge on the U.S. Circuit Court. He has lived a privileged and blessed life professionally, socially. He has paid no consequence whatsoever. And now maybe he'll be the guy who, didn't quite get to sit on the Supreme Court. But that's a pretty far cry from having your life ruined. That's a pretty far cry from having to live with the consequences of sexual assault for the rest of your life.
Yeah, let's be clear here. This is not overly aggressive behavior. This is sexual assault. This is attempts at rape and so on.
Indeed. And I've heard a lot of, there's been a lot of back and forth around this, about how he has been, he's been considered guilty until proven innocent, that he has not had a chance to undergo due process, that he has not been able to allow things into evidence, whatever. He's not at trial here. He is not entitled to due process. You are not entitled to due process at a confirmation hearing.
This is a job interview.
It's a job interview. Due process comes into play when you are in jeopardy of having your rights deprived by the government because you may have committed a crime. If you are on trial and might possibly face the loss of life, liberty, or property, then you are entitled to due process of law. You are not entitled to due process at a job interview, and you sure as hell, regardless of who you knew growing up, regardless of all the skids that were greased for you on your way to Yale and on to the federal court, you are not entitled to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States, period.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we've also seen here in response to all this is this upwelling of anger. An associate of mine described it to me thusly. Every woman in the world, she said, has this raging pit of anger in her stomach that she has carried around her whole life. And if Kavanaugh gets put on the court, you are going to see all this anger pour out of the mouth of every woman in America like a swarm of bees.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Because the court is very insulated.
Maybe.
And isolated. And because of an error written in the Constitution, it's a permanent position. You have to go through a very difficult process.
It's not an error. That's how it was written. Wasn't written that way by mistake.
Oh, I'm saying it's an error from our perspective today.
Okay.
Excuse me.
It's quite all right.
Yeah, thank you.
So what we're looking at, there's one more thing I should mention, a fascinating angle. Through all of this, of course, the Democrats on the committee and supporters of Christine Blasey Ford and Deborah Ramirez and all the other women who have come forward have said, look, there's enough smoke here that there might be a fire. So let's have the FBI investigate, just the way they did when similar allegations came up against Clarence Thomas back during his confirmation hearings. Let's have the FBI investigate. For some reason, no, we couldn't do that. The House was on fire. Kavanaugh had to be confirmed as quickly as humanly possible. We had no time for any of this, right?
Right. Well, wrong, but right.
Right. Well, but late last week, the Judiciary Committee and the White House decided to go forward with an FBI investigation. There was
very limited.
Very limited, yes, but that may be changing based on some news that's breaking today. A fascinating exchange happened. I urge you to Google this, go on YouTube and find it. Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona, who's one of these spineless conservatives who sometimes finds a spine when there's nothing at stake.
Well, I don't agree with that analysis of him. I think he's a hardcore Mormon fundamentalist.
Okay, there's that.
There's a spine to that.
There's a spine to that.
No, really.
Yeah, okay. He's getting onto the elevator after the Judiciary Committee hearing, and he's confronted by this woman.
Two women.
And one of whom is weeping. And Flake turns his eyes, averts his eyes from her. And she says, no, don't you look away from me. Don't you look away from me and tell me that what happened to me doesn't matter. It was a powerful moment, you know, demanding that this thing that happened to her and this thing that has happened to virtually every woman in growing up in the United States, it seems. Somebody, if you're a man and you're listening to my voice right now, there is a woman, probably more than one, in your life who has been sexually assaulted. Let's understand that right now. So the specter of a man being placed into one of the offices that carries the most responsibility under our constitutional order, that demands the most nuanced sense of judgment, that demands the most wisdom, the most intelligent and soul-searching of discernment. The specter of somebody sitting in that seat who himself is an attempted rapist is unconscionable. It should be unconscionable for every member of this society. This should be beyond the pale. Yet, as you mentioned earlier, he is in all likelihood going to be confirmed.
Well, I agree with everything you're saying, but my emphasis, which differs only in the emphasis, mm-hmm. not in the question you're raising or issues you're pointing out, my emphasis is actually on the structural elements of the ruling class that very deliberately and systematically have put in place with Citizens United as their prime decision that allows them to spend their money as they wish in politics, has put into place a system that essentially cancels out the people's democracy. Period.
Period.
And you look at his opinions. I just want to throw this very quickly out. On regulatory issues and administrative law. Now, remember, this guy has already served on the appeals courts. He had a very hard time getting his appeals court position, by the way. It was very much resisted, but he managed to squeeze in. He's in the Washington, D.C. appeals court. Of the opinions on business and so on, there are 22 such decisions. 18 for business interests and 4 against.
Oh, surprise, okay. Surprise.
Surprise, surprise. On environmental protection, 11 pro-business decisions and 2 against. Now, that one, the argument here is, well, unless you can show that you have standing, that is, that your child is sick and dying or something like that, you can't appeal on this issue. That's his position. On worker rights, 15 anti-worker decisions and 2 that essentially support the workers against business. On police and human rights abuse, 7-0. On antitrust measures, guess what? There's only been a couple of them, and both of them were in favor of business and against the rights of corporations struggling at the bottom.
Yeah.
So in other words, this guy...
He's a company man, isn't he?
Is more than a company man. He's the ultimate servant of the worst element of the ruling class. He really is that. And I see in this whole thing, and in the pattern we've gotten when the Republican Party turned into the neo-Nazis, which is what mm-hmm. I think they are, I see in that the end of what I would call democracy and the republic. This is a very dangerous situation, and it is done. It's a coup, silent and steady, that has gone on for quite a while, yeah. and it's very scary. And most people are either very cynical or feeling helpless in the face of this. And this is something that is very difficult to acknowledge. But the fact of the matter is that the system, this system of the right, has disenfranchised huge numbers of voters. I really think, looking at the Clinton-Trump contest, that in fact it was decided by not so much the Russian trolls and bots, not so much by Hillary's lack of charisma, all of which are true. It was really decided by the disenfranchisement of thousands, actually millions, of persons of color and women.
Yeah, I can't argue with any of that.
So, you know, this is not democracy.
No, no.
It's not what it looks like.
No, no. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO 90.7 FM. 503-231-8187 is the number to call today. We really would like to hear from women. I want to know, how does it feel to you, first of all, to know that a man like this is poised to be appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States? And what do you think it means for everybody going forward if he's actually seated
also,
in that seat?
Also, there's the other aspect of him, not just his positions and his previous behavior, but his obvious tendency to be a bully. And I think I really feel sorry for his wife. No, really. I mean, come on. This guy, she's sitting there watching him go,
yeah, I like beer.
I like beer, 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 beer. I mean, come on.
There was an exchange he had with Senator Klobuchar where this just, I couldn't believe it. She asked him if he had ever drunk to the point where he had blacked out.
Right.
And
which might have been an excuse for his bad behavior if he chose to use it.
It might have been an explanation, not an excuse.
Well, okay. That's a distinction without a difference.
He responded to the senator, to the U.S. senator, asking him a question under oath at his own confirmation hearing. He responded, "I don't know, have you?"
Right.
Who does that?
A rude fella.
Yeah. Is that evidence of a judicial temperament in your estimation?
Well, obviously not. I mean, this is such a bad choice. One of the ironies of this is the selection that came out of this, pushing him to be the conservative choice. And there are many conservative judges, let's acknowledge that. The choice of him, is essentially an example of arrogance and the Trump administration's trying to accomplish essentially fascist goals. And there were Federalist Society supported candidates who had been more suitable, less obviously fascist. This is Trump's choice, and I suspect part of the reason is that he's had said early and often that he would not prosecute a standing president. And it could be as petty as that.
Petty is one way to describe it.
Well, yeah. Petty.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's go to the phones.
Yeah.
Who's first? Karen, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for raking the judge over the coals in a much-deserved manner. I just wanted to point out something. I'm 72, so I've heard the arguments around women for many, many years, as you can imagine, and been a victim of domestic violence myself. There's a tendency to displace the importance of these issues for women and for African Americans, people of color, because of the focus on economics and larger political issues.
I may be guilty of that. I want to acknowledge that.
That's why I'm calling, Joe, not because I'm saying I disagree with anything you've said. It's all important, all true as far as I know as well. However, I thought after years of bowing my head and saying economics is more important or this is more important than women or that's more important, I finally figured it out. Relationships under capitalism are fractured, broken, and discouraged from flourishing. So our human connections under capitalism, and imagine the owner-worker relationship as fundamental, are what are underlying the whole system. So when we diminish the human qualities that we're seeing being plowed under, compassion, generosity, kindness, connection, justice, all these human dimensions, virtue dimensions, and we say that, oh, that's secondary. What's really important is what's in your paycheck. It's not secondary. It's primary because it's what allows us to victimize people, whether it's workers, whether it's the victims of our military abuse, whatever it is. It all goes back to a lack of empathy and compassion and kindness. And I finally figured it out. I'm old. I should have figured this out so long ago because it's so obvious. But it's not obvious because we're trained not to think about it like this. We're trained to dismiss it. It's the stuff of women. It's chick stuff, chick flicks, or whatever it is. I'm sick of it. I refuse to shut up. And I just have to put it out there, guys.
Good for you.
First of all, I want to support you. I agree with what you're saying. I don't want to get into, and I think neither do you.
Oops. Thank you very much for the call.
Neither do you want to get into this idea that there's one thing more important than another in this case. This is a whole package, and indeed it has its roots in the system in which we are functioning, the economic system largely. And you're right. It is foolish to say this thing is more important than that thing. It's all of a package, and it is all structural, and it is all normatively acceptable under this kind of late-stage capitalism.
All right, let's go to Jim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Let's lay it out straight. Kavanaugh is a lying, misogynist jerk, just like that so-called president and defending these two clowns.
I'm sorry we had to let you go there.
You don't like the A word?
Sorry, just had to do it. Who's next? Francis. Good morning.
Hi. First of all, I want to speak as a woman in a second.
Sure.
I'm going to be 70 this month, so
happy birthday.
I've been observing a whole lot of stuff for a long time, and first of all, that Citizens United needs to be revisited, because as I see it, what is happening is that our whole Congress and everyone is deferring to the corporations and protecting the corporations, which are at the expense of the people. And people are being abused down here on the ground. A young man was just killed in Portland by the police over the weekend.
Wait, I don't know about this.
Yeah, another person.
Yeah, right downtown on 4th and Start. And there's going to be rally of a vigil for him, for his family, on the Saturday afternoon. But I see that man that every woman and many men, and not necessarily always at the hands of men, have been abused or assaulted in ways throughout our lives. And I refuse to give up my power and take the role of the victim. Because as I see it, that pitiful man, to me, looks like he might as well have still been back in high school, the way he acted during that hearing. I saw him as a silly high school boy, still being silly. And it's those people in the Congress have some serious manhood issues. Not just him, but the Speaker of the House, the Senate Majority Leader. They're acting out their fears in a way that is really harming a lot of people down here on the ground. And as long as we allow them to continue to protect the corporations over the people, the people are not equal to the corporations. So the corporations cannot be equal to us, but they are being given that deference, and it's rather disgusting. I think that people need to just stand up and call it for what it is. You know, there's a whole bunch of racist, bigoted men with some very serious inferiority complexes about their own manhood that are running things. And I think in the one thing that really I'm rambling a little bit, but that race in against Cruz in Texas,
Beto O'Rourke.
That is extremely uplifting and exciting for me to see what is happening there in Texas. O'Rourke is getting a lot of support from all over the world, and I guess all over the world, literally. And I guess his last rally, where Willie Nelson was there.
Yeah.
A lot of Willie Nelson fans were like, what? They were surprised that he's supporting O'Rourke, but I think he kind of actually is turning some people's minds just in the fact that he's there. But he had the biggest rally since Obama's rally here in Portland this last weekend in Texas, and that was just never heard of in Texas. So there's some people are ready to do something. I really believe that I'm going to believe that in the midterm is going to be a big change.
I agree. We also saw the African-American nominee for governor in Florida filling halls in deep red counties. I mean, mm-hmm. things that have just never happened in Southern politics.
I think people are starting to see that whomever all those corrupt people running our government right now are deferring to corporations and not us. and they're supposed to be there representing we the people. So I think it's becoming very obvious, and that's one thing I'll give Trump for. He has collected the most corrupt, hateful people around him, and they're all complicit. They're all complicit, and I think it's going something. I believe there is a momentum going right now that is going to change everything. So I'm not going to sit and dwell on this high school boy and his sexuality.
Fair enough. And I think we're going to have to leave it there, Frances, so we can give other folks a chance. But thank you once again.
Well, I think she made some very good points.
She always does.
I want to be clear about this. I am not trying to set up an opposition of which is the more horrible thing about Kavanaugh. That's not my point. And I believe there's an overarching cultural phenomenon here, which includes the abuse of minorities and women as part of the normative expectations of this particular late-stage capitalism. That's really where I'm at, and I think to a great degree you are too, Abe.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you limit it to late-stage capitalism. I'd say those
because that's where we are.
Those particular structural iniquities have existed throughout.
No argument, yeah. But that's where we are now, and yeah. We have to start from that place. And we have to understand the actual conspiratorial elements that brought this about, you know, which includes the Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Dougie, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, really recommend people to check out Michael Moore's new movie,
yes.
Fahrenheit 11/9.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought the documentary was, I think it was one of his best. There were some times, I don't know if it's because over the past 2 years watching this descent into fascism in America with Donald Trump, the his base and Steve Bannon, the alt-right, Breitbart News, and Fox News, and what happened in Charlottesville. I thought it was really, there was a few times that I was actually, you know, tears were kind of coming out of my eyes. Not kind of, they were. Just watching the poisoning of the children in Flint, watching what's happened with the mass shooting in down in Parkland High School, and the students trying to organize to fight that, the teachers' unions starting to rise up. And then after that, then we went into the week here with the judge, and after hearing the testimony of Lacey Ford and how she's been treated, another few more tears. You know, it's just we're watching the misogyny, the consolidation of power of right-wing extremism on the Supreme Court. Women are potentially about to lose their right to choose in some states. Birth control pills could become illegal. Then you see the climate and extreme weather events that are going on around the country. The world. I really recommend people check out Climate and Extreme Weather News on YouTube and subscribe. Climate and Extreme Weather News and subscribe. But I heard this morning on MSNBC a corporate Democrat talking about with all this extremism and Trump and the courts and the misogyny and disregarding this lady, that, you know, women are going to come out to vote. She's hoping that the pendulum swings back to the middle. That type of mentality.
Yeah.
And the corporate Democrats, if they think that, you know, the people, progressive people and young people, when you refer to the base of the Republican Party and Trump, they don't refer to the alt-right or the white nationalists or the white supremacists or Breitbart. But when they talk about the left, the Democratic left or Democratic socialists or the grassroots, you know, we're still ostracized. People are scared to say the word democratic socialism.
Yeah, you're right.
They want to swing back to the middle, which is what the neoliberalism that brought us to this in the first place.
Well, I agree with you. Absolutely.
So, I don't know. you too. I mean, the midterms are coming. Are we going to be able to pull out of this descent? You know,
well, all of us have to do everything we can within the context of the current system to make sure that the governments, state, local, and national, are filled with people who are aware and interested in furthering the interests of ordinary people, particularly persons of color and women, because they've been held behind systematically. This is very important. I think you know that. I'm not meaning to preach to you. I'm talking to everybody. I think it's very important, and I think that if people will just think about it and just take the time to call everyone they know in any state they know, taking the trouble to know who the hell the candidates are, this thing that people say is going to happen will happen. But if it goes like things often do, and everyone's very cynical, and they say, well, you know, the Democrats aren't left enough, or that, you have to buy into what's available at the moment to begin the push from where we are to the place where we need to be. And that means getting these very ugly candidates and seats occupied by such people, get them the hell out, and get them out now, and do it all over the United States, repudiate it thoroughly. And that's incredibly important. And of course, that's exactly what Trump and his allies fear. So let's do it.
Yeah, and thank you very much for the call. All right, let's take care of a little business here.
Okay, business.
Coming up today on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, historian David Stannard talks about the indigenous people of North and South America having undergone the worst Holocaust the world has ever witnessed. At 10, it's Eric Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Stage and Studio presents the documentary Coming Home, The Return of the Aleutic Masks. Apologies for pronunciation there. At 11:30, Art Focus talks to art historian and scholar Elizabeth Ballou about the new show Witness at the Hallie Ford Museum in Salem. All this and more coming up today on KBOO. If you want to take part in this conversation, women get to jump to the front of the line today. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. John writes into our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Abe and Joe, to say, does anyone remember that job interview in which you began by shouting and then evaded direct interview questions, got overly emotional, was belligerent, even crying, as well as touting your love for alcohol, and still got the job? Yeah, I didn't think so. let's go to the phones. Mike, good morning. Are you there?
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Yeah, good morning, K-Boo. I just wanted a reminder question. What is the name of the kind of elitist, kind of fringe extremist group in the Catholic Church that somehow gets people appointed onto judgeships? And it was something I've been looking up.
I don't know.
Maybe you're talking about Opus Dei. I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I didn't know they got involved in legal
affairs.
I couldn't
remember the Opus Dei. Okay. Thank you. You know what's fascinating is because I didn't remember that, I was trying to put in different keywords, and all sorts of stuff came up. I mean, there's two or three smaller fringe groups like that. And I guess it's a big country. There's going to be lots of groups like that. But anyway, it was interesting. And just a shout out to people, vote, you know, please put your vote in, please put your voice in. If you don't think it's important, follow the money. Why do you think corporate and billionaire fascist Americans and otherwise around the world dump millions, tens of millions and hundreds of millions and now billions into destroying voting rights for people and the masses, and also try to take over our government, and also lobby so hard and are getting their way, well, like Citizens United, to take away limits on their money, free speech. Think about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
I say vote early and often.
Right.
By which I mean call everyone you know in any state in the union. Tell people to vote. Make sure that everybody is aware of the necessity. Don't let the less than good get in the way of what needs to be done. At this point, the goal should be to smash fascism.
Yeah, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
You said it better.
Yeah, I usually do. let's go to the phones. Who's next?
Danny.
Daniel, good morning.
Yeah.
good morning. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Hey, listen, you know, I just want to echo a previous caller. Thank you for continuing to rake this rotten to the core human being over the coals. I just never seen anything like this. I've been following politics my whole life. You know, I'm not that old. I'm late 40s, right? But I've been very political, and it's stunning to see how low Republicans will sink to get their guy through. The depths of depravity these people have sunk now. And it's just the lies they tell to get this guy through, the double standards, the hypocrisy. It's like they don't even care. They don't even care that it's right in front of our faces.
Doug, I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it right there. They're about to put a multiple times accused sexual assailant on the Supreme Court, and they don't seem to care.
No, they don't, because it's their guy. Like you guys said, this guy has been groomed probably since he was born to be this. I never even knew about what was this organization that's creating all of these conservative justices.
The Federalist Society.
Man, I never even heard about this until this all came out. It's just scary. But really, what I wanted to call in to say was, you know, it's so hard, and I'm hoping that I'm echoing a lot of your listeners. It is so hard to be optimistic right now about democracy, about our country, about the world, our environment. It's really hard for me not to just sink into this depression and clearly seeing the ease that we could just slide into this insane fascist dystopian future that I see in all the sci-fi shows. I mean, it has slowly happened, and we're right on the doorstep right now. But what I want to do is be optimistic for a second here. It's hard to, but I'm going to be optimistic, and this is something that I have, that other friends of mine have echoed. Many people have echoed when having this conversation over the past year, ever since this fake president was elected. I honestly, you guys, you know, I really think what we're seeing right now is the last gasp of conservatism in America. What we're seeing, they are hanging on for dear life. The bottom line is these old conservative Republicans are dying off. They're not being replaced by younger voters. Demographics are changing and have been changing for a few decades now, but they're drastically changing, swinging away from the GOP. They don't win elections anymore. The only way the GOP wins is to lie, cheat, steal, gerrymander, prevent people from voting, stack the courts in their favor. This is the only thing. They know that, and this is what they resort to. So what we're seeing is, honestly, I think, is they know that in the future, they're just not going to have the number of people. No matter what they do, they're not going to have enough people voting for them to stay in power.
Well, as long as people vote and as long as the efforts to repress or suppress votes keep on, we have a problem. I'm going to let you go because we do have several other people now.
Sure, absolutely.
But I appreciate your
thanks
comments.
For the call.
Thank you very much.
Sherry is next. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to echo what the guy says about I think this is the last gasp because they're having to lie, cheat, and steal their way. That's one thing. But I wanted to tell you that the other day I gave money to through a crowdsource site on Susan Collins of Maine to her opponent in 2020 if she votes, depending on how she votes. So it's a thing where you put in your credit card. I put in $25 because I live in Oregon. She lives in Maine, but I put in $25. And if she votes yes for Kavanaugh, then it'll run my card, and she will have already over $1 million in the person who runs against Susan will have $1 million. And if she votes no, then it won't run my card.
That's a very clever idea. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Someone started it in Maine, and then it's gone. I guess you call it viral. And so I put my voice in. It feels worth it to oppose her. And so to let her know that people all over the country would be really upset with her. And I used to live in Alaska for many years. I'm an alumni of University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I called Susan Lisa Murkowski and said my bit. So my thing is you can call other senators, and you can write other senators, even if you're not of their state. if you can figure out how to figure out some way to contact them, or like you had said earlier, Joe, is to call everyone you know who lives in those states. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. And I also wanted to give a shout out to Jeff Merkley for trying to put in the lawsuit. I never heard what happened to stop it, because
I didn't hear what happened either.
So he put in a lawsuit to try to stop the process, because he's saying he has a constitutional duty as a senator to thoroughly vet. And what is their role? They have to advise and consent. Well, if they're not given 75% of the paperwork, or is it 80% of the paperwork that is being redacted and being withheld, how can he give proper advice and consent? So he put a lawsuit based on that. And then also Bernie Sanders recently put in a lawsuit to try to stop it. So people are trying every which way to stop it as well, using other means.
Well, actually, I just want to say that I'm a little bit more positive than I have been in the past. I see that the outrages that we're experiencing, the obvious moves toward fascism that we're discovering, and the control by these corporations clearly tell us that we need to act. And again, this is a moment not of greatness in the sense that we're going to move to the left, because I don't think that's going to happen immediately. But this is a moment when we can stop this slide into dictatorship. And I really, really want everyone to realize that and to think about it in the logical terms that I'm suggesting. And let's all of us put our energy, our money, and our words on the line.
It is true. It's so easy to get sucked into the "it's my vote doesn't count," and I've been guilty of that, although I've never ever not voted, but I've been so discouraged. And it's so easy to and anyway, we have an electoral college, so our vote doesn't count for the president and all that stuff. But like the other guy said, like the other caller said, if it really didn't matter, then why would the other side be putting so much money into trying to prevent us from voting?
Good point.
So it's just really pretty simple. It obviously makes a difference. So I encourage everyone to. I hope everyone does not, one person who does not vote, everyone has to make sure everyone that they know, everyone should be responsible for everyone else that they know that they vote, or something like that.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you for the call. I think you're making the points that we are and doing it very well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, who's next? Jane, good morning.
Hi, I'm sorry, I just had a comment about the guy who talked about in between people, and I just wanted to say that, like, for some of us, it's just because we've seen different things, or, like, I've kind of seen a lot of people's different stuff, and East Portland isn't Berkeley or L.A. Like, Southeast 82nd Street, it used to be way low class and white, so it looks so different than, like, East L.A. or Berkeley. So I go somewhere kind of in between, and then, you know, it's like when you have, I'm sorry if I don't tell the story very well, but Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz talks about weapons and white male privilege, but like I kind of looked out, like I listened to a lot of translation, and Japan is talking about lifting their weapons ban. They want to become the number one weapons dealer on earth. That's what they're talking about. And they're actually, they're like not white. And I just, that's one of the reasons of the many, like, because there's so many, that I kind of somewhere between. And then as not a side note, Cerebus, which is a huge, like, hedge fund thing, besides being involved with, like they own Avon, they also owned, like, half a bank in Japan. At the same time that Remington Arms, which is the Sandy Hook shooting, Remington Arms is a big political group for guns and ammo, and I don't know really how to connect those dots. It's not my total background, but I just always feel like I wish people would check into it, and that's kind of why, I mean, I don't want to just rail on the Japanese. We also have, like, Greek shipping tycoons in the United States who have political groups.
Well, let me just say that capitalism is an international phenomenon. I don't know of any state in the industrialized world that doesn't exhibit the same symptoms. I'm gonna let you go and give some other people an opportunity, because we're running out of time. But thank you very much for the call. Who do we have next? Kriya, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to see if you guys knew that Elizabeth Warren might run.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Okay. I think we should call her and encourage her. And by the way, that last caller you had about calling other senators from other states, I've been doing that too. I think her idea about giving money conditional is a great one.
I think it's a very cool idea. I didn't know there were funds that would do that. I think that's great.
Yeah. So that's all I have to say. I think both of those things are hopeful.
Yeah, I think so. I tend to be dark-minded. It has to do with experience and age and cynicism. But I don't want that to bleed into the efforts of other people, because the famous fact is you never know where the change will come. So as you struggle, always there is the possibility of something very wonderful happening. But if you don't struggle, it ain't going to happen.
Well, one thing that helps me be positive is I plant trees.
That's a good thing.
Here.
Yeah.
That's like one little thing that I can see that happens every year. So I can see that. But I know do little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That make a difference in their lives, so, and other people's too. So I think those kinds of things can also help, and if you look for them.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I want to thank you for the call. Let's see if we can get a couple other people in. Who do we have?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Robert is next. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having my call. One of the big things I want to stress is just the level of apathy that's out there these days. And that is, like, we can really voice change by participating. I mean, that's what our democracy is about. And whether it's technology that we're, you know, trusting so much, or these just ridiculous corporate interests and these millionaires that go into Washington and even to gouge even more money into their wallets. Like, this whole argument with Kavanaugh, I mean, we have a confessed sexual assault, proponent, basically, in the White House. So having another one on the Supreme Court, it's not going to be a big change for this country.
Well, you understand the Supreme Court is the ultimate appeal court, and that when you're appointed to it, it's a lifetime appointment, right?
I understand that, you know, the lifetime appointment, yeah. But prior to Thurgood Marshall, I mean, they were a traveling circus that basically was a joke that went around doing much of nothing. And then the whole unconstitutional argument is basically what, you know, changed the whole demeanor and tenor of the Supreme Court. So it is a serious thing. But if people really want to affect change, get out, vote, participate in your community, have a voice. Don't just sit idle and wait for someone else to do it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you very much. Wow, there's been so much going on.
I don't want to fall into the trap of which is more important, the fact of Kavanaugh's involvement with these right-wing reactionary fascist corporations and so on versus the fact of his sexism and so on. I think they are all of a part, all of a piece. And when we attack one, we're attacking the other, and we all need to understand that.
Yeah,
it's very important to really link the ways in which people are oppressed with the fact of oppression.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. You're absolutely correct. And I think we all need to gird ourselves for the likely outcome here, which is that this guy will probably be the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States.
You know, it's not a done deal, but it's looking that way. And that whole thing where the FBI, it's unclear what the FBI is going to look at. Mm-hmm. Victims are coming forward. I don't want to use the word victim. People who've been abused or attacked by this guy are coming forward. There could be a big change in the sentiment of many people, but not of the Republicans who dominate the committee.
No. Essentially, if you're waiting on Mitch McConnell's heart to suddenly see the light of day, you got a long, long wait ahead of you, I think.
Well, really? And those old guys?
Yeah, they don't care.
I mean, they
don't care.
They are really amazing.
You know, really what's come through to me more than anything else here is when you compare what's happening with Kavanaugh now to what happened to Anita Hill a couple of decades ago is how little progress we seem to have made since then.
Well, let's turn it around and let's all remember that in struggle there is joy.
There is. You're absolutely right. This has been the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. Stay tuned for a wonderful morning of news and public affairs programming. We'll be back. Exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Please join us.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 9 o'clock, and coming up next is Alternative Radio.
In celebration of our 50th anniversary, KABU is teaming up with the Mississippi Records Music and Film Series. KABU will be hosting Killer of Sheep on Wednesday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Filmed in Watts in 1975, Killer of Sheep follows a working man in a moment of existential crisis, trying to make ends meet at a job he finds repugnant, and trying to connect with his family and community. The Library of Congress declared Killer of Sheep a national treasure and one of the first 50 films on the National Film Registry. Again, that's Killer of Sheep on Wednesday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KABU listener members and support from Portland Saturday Market. 45 years of handmade arts and crafts, freshly prepared international foods, and local music in downtown Portland, featuring live music and Kids Corner events.